This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore! Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass. This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review with Mike and John, right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm one of the hosts here, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5, also the host of the Football Function Podcast, available on all of your podcasting platforms, including the one that you're listening to this show on. Joining me on today's episode, the go-home show for WrestleMania, John Carrasco at Big Speaker on Twitter. That's BIGG_speaker. John, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Appreciate you for giving me this shout out and everything like that. But I am definitely excited for this weekend, man. I'm definitely ready for tomorrow and everything like that. I know you got big plans and everything. So yeah, let's go ahead and get this thing popping.
Yeah, I'm so excited, I couldn't even contain it. I just had to let it all out, and that happened a little bit before the show, obviously. Just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a disclaimer, you're going to have to bear with me here. I ate some wings a little bit earlier, kind of made my stomach feel a little bit upset, I guess you can say, and I was on the struggle bus a little bit before we started recording here, but I'm all right, I'm good to go. Big day tomorrow, got to drive from, I guess, the Northwest, the Texas Panhandle areas where we live, all the way to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's only about a 5.5 hour drive, give or take. It's not going to be that long, so we're going to be able to leave around, you know, like 9, 10 a.m. and still get there at a decent time before the show starts. Definitely, you know, a lot easier than some people. We know someone in the Discord server had to drive like 900 miles or something like that. Yeah. And that's not, I mean, that's even nothing. You know, people are coming from all over the world to show up to WrestleMania, but that's kind of what I have to do tomorrow is, you know, drive there. So we do have a little bit of things to get situated, but nonetheless, I wanted to hop on here and talk about the SmackDown with my buddy John. So anything you have to say, anything that you want to, you know, get off your chest here before we officially dive in?
Well, I mean, not too much, but I mean, I did kind of want to plug this, you know, like the new SmackDown tier that we have for our Patreon members and everything like that. That was actually pretty cool. You know, it's definitely like a little step up, I guess you could say. But, I mean, definitely check that out if you're interested in everything. You definitely got some perks, benefits that come with it. So, yeah, Patreons, if you need that next level up tier, hop on. Anybody new following, it's a plus, let me tell you that.
Yeah, like for the people who just want a little bit more, you know, that's kind of how it is. Like, once you start podcasting, for example, you know, like, you get all the basic equipment that you need kind of to try to save a little bit of money. And then as you do it, you realize, ooh, I could get, you know, a little bit of an upgrade here or there. And you kind of just get a little bit, you know, more comfortable in the setting. And that's kind of how it is with the podcast. Once you, you know, subscribe to Patreon for a couple months, you're like, yeah, you know, I want to do a little bit more. Let me subscribe up to that $5 SmackDown tier and get a little bit more benefits. So good little plug there for Matt and everything he has going on here on the WWE Podcast. But we do have a pretty jam-packed show here, obviously the go-home show here that took place on April 1st, 2022 in Dallas, Texas, the American Airlines Arena. This was the official go-home show, like I just said, so that's definitely, you know, usually newsworthy things happen. They usually don't like to disappoint because it's the last thing you see before a pay-per-view, much less WrestleMania. But not only do we have to cover this episode of SmackDown, we're also going to go through and give our quick predictions for each match on the WrestleMania card. So basically, you know, it's going to, you know, be a little jam-packed episode. So it might seem like we're rushing through, maybe not, just kind of, just, you know, to kind of make it seem like we could fit it all here in this episode. But either way, we're going to go ahead and dive in here. Segment one of this episode of SmackDown, and it started with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I'm a fan of keeping this off the WrestleMania card. It is basically like a WrestleMania season type thing. Typically, they always have it on the card, at least ever since its existence in like 2014, 2013, whenever it was that it came out. They've done it on WrestleMania Sunday, but the fact that they kept it off the card just felt right to me. I mean, it keeps every match on the card more meaningful, not just like a random match just to get everybody a little bit of airtime. So I just kind of had that written down that I felt like this was, you know, the right thing to do, having it take place on the night before WrestleMania. But, I mean, you don't really have to go through every single elimination here. It was pretty entertaining. If you like this type of stuff, I'm a huge fan of Battle Royals, Royal Rumbles, all that type of stuff. So I could always, you know, get pretty interested whenever one of these matches comes on. But Madcap does win and cuts a little bit of a promo afterwards, you know, kind of talking about how Andre the Giant was, you know, one of his heroes growing up and all that stuff. What'd you think about this Battle Royal?
Well, I mean, at the beginning of this, man, I was already on the Madcap train, so it was good to see him, like, follow through and get the win and everything like that. But the thing that kind of, like, stood out to me was, like, that little, like, oh, I don't know what you'd call it, but feud between Commander Z and...
Shanky?
Yeah, dude, I mean, I think that's, like, good right there. You know, if you put them two in a match right there, like... let them guys beat each other up. You know, there's two, I don't know, quality big men. Even like Omos, I guess you could say. Throw him in.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting to me. But, I don't know. Other than that, man, yeah, just a good round of applause for Madcap. Let me say that.
Man, I'm just going to say, Shanky needs to hit the curls up or, like, the bench press, something like that. Because for as big as he is... his arms, I mean, it's like they're noticeably small, you know, just from his frame. And that's just something that I noticed. I mean, if you are, you know, a professional athlete and you're on TV every week, I mean, I would be taking all the supplements you possibly can, you know, all the workout, protein, all that good stuff. But just, you know, normal curls, just with a, you know, an easy bar or whatever you want to do. That's just normal things to get your biceps popping. But anyway, that's kind of just one thing I noticed there with Shanky, because I agree, you know, seeing that face off, two dudes who are like 7 foot tall, if these two dudes were like actually established and credible, it would mean something. But right now, because they're kind of like Dollar General versions of big men, it was like a battle of like RC Cola versus Dr. Pibb, you know, like instead of like Dr. Pepper versus, you know, Coca-Cola or something like that. But either way, totally see what you're getting at. Definitely, maybe they can go or trend in the same direction as Omos, who actually has a match on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah, that was kind of a shocker right there.
But let's continue on here to another match, the triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship between Los Lotharios, which is Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, versus Ricochet. And they did the typical kiss cam thing. Now, I thought I recognized the face this time. Seriously, her name is Ashley Dambois, or Dambois, something like that. It's spelled like D apostrophe. Or something like that. I think it's apostrophe. AMBOISE. So, I mean, I'm not really sure. I know she was in AEW. And I could be completely wrong. If I get this, you know, if it wasn't her, then, you know, maybe someone can call me out. Someone likely will on Twitter and call me a stooge or something. But it's all good. That's just kind of what I thought when I saw her. Definitely recognized her. I'm a big fan of her. So it's kind of, I'm pretty confident that's who it was. But anyways, this was a great match, dude. Great storytelling, like kind of the way it started where it was just clear 2-on-1 advantage. They were taking it out on him. It eventually got to the point to where Ricochet was kind of fighting back a little bit, kind of showing a little bit of life, but the numbers were kind of still just playing into his disadvantage. And then eventually you've seen Humberto and Angel Garza kind of start to, you know, each try to get the win there. And then maybe one time try to pin each other. Excuse me, and they're kind of just, you know, heads start to clash a little bit, and then eventually Ricochet does, you know, overcome the 2-on-1 disadvantage and, you know, gets the win with that 630 splash or whatever it is, and then the recoil that he hit on Angel Garza. I mean,
it's smooth.
Ricochet went all out on this match. I will say he went balls to the wall. He showcased why he is the most athletic in all of WWE. Right now, I feel like it's Ricochet number one and Montez Ford number two. I feel like those are the two right there, but I think Ricochet, the way he can like torque his body in midair and kind of pause and just like float in midair and wait for something to happen and then deliver one of those enziguri kicks, he's just so damn good. So definitely wanted to give this match the credit that it deserved.
Oh yeah, man, this definitely was a very energetic match. The thing that kind of started was the Samantha Irvin, whenever she was in the match and everything like that, man, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I did show you that I had got the little like from her on Twitter.
Yeah, she liked your tweet. Like
that. Yeah. So yeah, she definitely gave, Ricochet that pep talk that I had, you know, mentioned to her. Yeah. So yeah, round of applause for that.
Shout out to Ricochet.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So that was one thing that kind of like stood out to me from just like the beginning, you know, her being in the middle of the ring, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think it was good. The friction, you know, that was kind of another thing that was kind of like, okay, because I kind of like said, like I saw it last week whenever like this had like all came about and everything. So I was like, okay. Yeah, I want to see some headbutting and, you know, just in my mind and everything like that. And sure enough, it came about and I'm cool with it. All for it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely shout out to Ricochet, though, for finally getting back on the winning side. You know, losing twice last week on SmackDown, losing Monday night on Raw to Austin Theory, and a clean win or a clean loss, I guess I should say. It's definitely feels nice to see the Intercontinental Champion start to win again. And, oh, yeah. The Intercontinental Championship isn't on the line at WrestleMania. I know it was just defended tonight in a triple threat match, a hell of a match. But it's the Intercontinental Championship, for Christ's sake. Like, why is it not on the card? It just doesn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's pretty crazy to me that you have a two-night WrestleMania event with 14 matches, seven on each freaking night, and the Intercontinental Championship and the United States Championship both somehow find their way off the card. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about it. It's just, it's legitimately like, it's puzzling to me. Like, I don't understand, like, the logic. Was this intentionally done? Did you just get this close to the card and realize, holy crap, we don't really have, like, you know, a storyline built up for either one of these belts to make it WrestleMania worthy?
Yeah.
We're going to need matches to kind of, you know, put butts in seats for the WrestleMania SmackDown, like they like to call it, and WrestleMania Raw or whatever. So they're going to kind of just give us those matches there. But it's just, you know, kind of interesting to me, I guess. Just the decision making, I guess.
I was gonna say, man, I can't really go like on the negative about this because, I mean, from what we've had with the Shinsuke, you know, title and everything like that run, that was just horrible, you know. Mm-hmm. So this, for it to have like some type of like story now, like I'm for it. I kind of understand like not being in the WrestleMania, but like
you at said, least it's being defended.
Yeah, the story has to build, and I think they're doing pretty. I think they're smack on with what they're going right now, you know? Kind of just takes a team apart and kind of puts, like, I guess you could say two good competitors in singles.
Yeah, definitely. But speaking of two competitors, or I guess two singles competitors who are in a tag team, we can move on to Sasha and Naomi versus Zelina and Carmella. This one really wasn't anything too special. I mean, Carmella kind of comes out strong. We do have Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley kind of hanging out on ringside, just kind of watching Natalya and Shayna Baszler as well, just to kind of get you ready for this Fatal 4-Way match that's going to be happening probably on one of the kickoff shows, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, I guess we'll see what they end up deciding. But Naomi does win this match for her team with a split-leg moonsault on Zelina Vega. Anything you took away from this one?
Not too much, man. I mean, I get it, you know, they're kind of just throwing them in there, you know, giving them a little build and everything like that. But I really didn't take too much from this one. I guess you could say just make Sasha and Naomi look a little bit stronger coming forward. But other than that, nothing for me.
Yeah, we'll see if they have what it takes to capture those belts. We'll talk about that once we get to our predictions portion of this episode. But quickly moving on here to another thing that happened. It was Caleb Braxton's interview with Ronda Rousey. She was showing, like, training with Shayna Baszler in, like, a, you know, a personal at-home gym or whatever, having a ring set up. It was just one of those things. Like, Caleb Braxton basically said that she expected Ronda to be more angry given, like, what's happened to her over the past couple of weeks with Charlotte Flair. And she just basically got, like, you know, like, I'm not as on the same side as you are as far as, like, not liking everything that Ronda Rousey does or just basically just being an anti-Ronda Rousey.
Right.
So I typically like to, you know, give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and give her a chance at least. But dude, like, it's just getting old, like the whole like mom talk, you know, like the whole like, I'm going to do all this and I'm going to go back to do this with my daughter. I'm going to show my daughter that I could beat Charlotte's ass or all this stuff, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of just like, we understand, but keep in mind, we saw Lacey Evans do this exact same thing. I know you're not too familiar with Lacey Evans, but eventually you'll be reminded. She'll come back at some point. She's done this whole thing. She fights for her daughter. She wants to show her daughter that women can do all the things that men can do, all the stuff. We've seen it. It's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. But basically, Ronda Rousey doesn't need that, is basically what I'm trying to say. And it's just like it's to the point to where like when you see her on the mic, she's either going to hit it out of the park, which is very rare, but she will, or it's going to be a very mediocre type of promo. And that's kind of, I mean, you know, it is what it is. She's not necessarily what's keeping this thing interesting. It's Charlotte, and Charlotte's kind of, you know, stepping her game up. She even did it tonight. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. I think coming up, she kind of cuts a little bit of a promo, but it was hard for me to stay engaged with what Ronda Rousey was saying. Just, I mean, I feel like she's repeating that she's saying the same things over and over again, but just wording it differently, you know? So I'm ready for this match to happen. And luckily, it's 11:08 right now, Central Time where we are. It'll already be over 24 hours from now. So we will have a new, or I don't want to, you know, tip my hand a little bit. I guess we'll figure out who will win that match a little bit later.
Man, this one is like you were saying, just like not too much for me, just because like I'm not the Ronda Rousey or Charlotte fan, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of just the. Yeah. I mean, it's what we got, you know. So I mean, I definitely have to choose my side. I guess you could say, you know, Charlotte. That's who I'm going to run with. I'll never go for Ronda. Never. Let me tell you that. Never. Statement made. But I don't know. Just my own opinion. But I just think, I don't know, dude. I mean, she, like you said, I didn't say like you said, but she's polished on the mic, man. So, I mean, her build for all this stuff is just, that's what's making it, you know. Yeah. So, that's what's got me interested in any part of this. But, I mean, yeah, just ready for this one to kind of slide out the way, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Charlotte's definitely carrying this one. You could just, mm-hmm. you could tell on her mic work, all that stuff. I mean, Ronda Rousey's been out of the business for like over a year, maybe mm-hmm. 2 years. You know, it's been a while since she's been back in the WWE, and just immediately being thrown into winning the Royal Rumble and being in this main event picture, you know, co-main event, however you want to look at it, winning the Royal Rumble in the, you know, the program with Charlotte Flair, who's the top woman in the company. So definitely not the easiest place to get thrown into, I guess you could say, just for somebody that was at home sitting on the couch playing mom. Mm-hmm. To have to go be number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship. But go ahead.
I was going to say, you figure, you know, like being like her, the caliber of like superstar that she is, you know, that she'd be more comfortable and everything like that. But yeah, you can definitely see like the like hesitantness in her and everything like that. And I guess you could say like the practice, and like you're seeing that she's having to do this. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody does it as well, but like hers is more like mainstream, you know, like they're giving it to us. We have to see this. So I guess, I mean, you give her ones, you know, I wouldn't say her twos, but she definitely gets her ones.
But keeping things in this same program, I guess we should say, Charlotte Flair does come out and she says that Ronda Rousey is basically bluffing by acting like her anger is under control. And in reality, she's actually flustered about facing Charlotte. And then Charlotte starts to list off things that are quote-unquote cool. She basically like references her winning and all that stuff. And then she says that at WrestleMania, she's going to take Ronda Rousey to school and show her what cool really means. I mean, this was more of the, like, Charlotte's done a good job in this program, I will say. She usually doesn't miss. But this promo that she cut tonight really didn't do it for me. I'm going to be honest. It felt a little bit like high school girlish, you know, like I'm going to take you to school and show you what cool really means. Like, come on, this is a go home show for Christ's sake. You were just freaking beating the hell out of her on a car, freaking spreading her mouth apart and all that stuff, putting her through a table or the announce table, I guess. And you come and then you kind of just take it down a couple notches. That's kind of that. That was just a little bit weird for me, I guess, just the process of it. Do you agree? Do you feel like this was maybe a good promo by her?
Oh, I mean, the only thing that I kind of say was like good was just the video package.
Yeah,
I mean, that was freaking, yeah. You know, like top notch, I guess you could say. I wouldn't say it trumped the next one, but yeah, that was pretty good, you know. But I mean, of course, I was still engaged with her like speaking and everything like that, but. Yeah, it wasn't too much for me.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can go ahead and move on then to something that I know we're both a little bit more interested in, and that is mm-hmm. Austin Theory sneaks up whenever Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura were making their entrance. Pat McAfee was doing his thing, you know, standing up on the table, doing his little dance, all that good stuff, and Austin Theory sneaks up behind him and then sweeps his feet, causing him to, you know, basically bust ass and land on that table. The monitors weren't moved. He landed on everything. embarrassing, I would assume. So Pat McAfee obviously chases him, kind of like what he's done in weeks past, all the way back to Vince McMahon's office where Austin Theory decides to hide. And Pat seems to be walking away, you know, kind of like he's going to let Austin Theory get away with it, kind of just say, I'll take care of you on Sunday. But it looks like he decides to change his mind because he turns around, kicks that door right open, and out comes a very pissed off Vince McMahon. He gets in Pat's face, basically says, who the hell do you think you are? Do you want me to fire you? Do you want me to take away your WrestleMania match? Basically, go do your job. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. Pat does just that. Now, I will say, just really quickly, I mean, it's good stuff. You like to see Vince McMahon get involved to a certain extent, but anybody who watches wrestling, anybody who's even somewhat familiar with what the gorilla room is or gorilla position, whatever you want to call it, basically backstage, right before you come out, Vince McMahon isn't in his locker room. He's not doing all that stuff whenever SmackDown's going on. He's literally in gorilla room or gorilla position with a headset on, talking to Michael Cole, talking to Pat McAfee, controlling everything pretty much. Like, nothing goes on air without Vince McMahon basically either hearing it or okaying it or basically giving it the green light. So he's not going to be in his locker room just sitting there waiting to, you know, hold Austin Theory's head on his shoulder and all that stuff whenever he's running from Pat McAfee. So that right there kind of just tells him, like, I mean, not everybody's going to get that. It might be a little bit nitpicky, but it's just something that kind of immediately I was like, wait, SmackDown's going on. Vince McMahon's not going to be in his freaking locker room right now. But what'd you think about this? I mean, the initial attack from Austin Theory and then ultimately Vince McMahon threatening Pat that, I mean, he may, you know, tell him to kick rocks.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a surprise, man. I definitely wasn't ready for this and everything. But, man, it's great. You know, I'm all for it and everything. So, I mean, the road that they're on with this, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're here. They then brought us to, like, almost the finish line. So let's go ahead, finish this out strong, and hopefully something, you know, good comes about this, Pat.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to talking about this match a little bit more once we're doing our official predictions. But we kind of, it's not over between these guys.
For sure.
At least tonight on the episode of SmackDown, we'll kind of talk about that. Because up next, we get a one-on-one match. Rick Boogs versus Jimmy Uso. That's one thing I was telling Caleb as the match was going on. Boogs doesn't lose. That's what I was saying. Like, I do not expect him to lose this match at all. I expect him to win. And if the match would have ended, I feel like that would have happened, but excuse me, the beginning of this match was basically just like background music, essentially, for the Pat McAfee and Austin Theory's debacle, all that stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. Like Michael Cole, they weren't even talking about the match. They were just basically saying, calm down, you're going to get him in 2 days. You can, you know, you can handle it. The impact's like, well, who am I if I just let this dude continue to punk me and all that stuff? And he's like, well, you're going to be somebody who beats him at WrestleMania, all that stuff. I mean, shout out to Michael Cole for being the voice of reason during all this. But Austin Theory does come back out during this match, and he actually grabs a drink from a fan and then throws it on Pat McAfee and then tries to just, you know, walk away thinking he got the upper hand. And then Finn Balor comes out having Pat McAfee's back, attacks Austin Theory from behind, throws him in the ring, go to commercial break. We come back. It's officially a 6-man tag match with the Usos and Austin Theory versus Rick Boogs, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Finn Balor. And pretty much, I mean, the whole time, Pat and Austin are like talking crap to each other. Pat's not even sitting down. He's really engaged. You can tell he's, you know, super tense and all that stuff. And after verbally going back and forth for the entire match with Pat McAfee, Austin Theory hits the ATL on Finn Balor and gets the win. And they nearly get into it again. Him and Pat McAfee, they kind of, you know, get face to face, and swole Michael Cole steps in the way and puts a stop to all that.
Yeah, man, this one was freaking definitely change of direction real quick and everything. You know, just everything that was being involved, you know, the Pat Austin Theory thing, with especially with the match going on. But only thing, why'd they have to pair Austin Theory with the Usos? You know, that's kind of
heels.
No, I mean, I understand that, you know, but gosh, but
yeah,
dang,
for you, like, because
I wasn't ready for all that, but yeah, gosh, just dang. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it was good, man. I kind of feel.
So you were rooting for the Usos probably just in that situation, but you don't want to be, you know, associated with Austin Theory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like I was, yeah, I've ever go for the guy ever. You know, I mean, he's up and coming and stuff like that. But, I mean, just given the circumstance with what we got going on right now, yeah, he's at the bottom of the list. But
yeah, definitely understand that. But, all right, let's go ahead and talk about it. The main event, the last thing here. And it's not anything, you know, too special, I guess. I mean, two nights in a row, they're going to close the show with a talk show, supposedly. Because tonight, SmackDown, they closed it with Happy Talk. First night of WrestleMania, they're closing it with the KO show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So we'll see if that one ends up being an actual talk show or if it's, you know, it ends up being a little bit of a brawl, a little bit of a match, something like that. But either way, I mean, just kind of just something I noticed here as I was looking at it, like, dang, two nights out of the three that we're going to get. Well, four, technically, because Monday Night Raw, man, that's badass, is it not? I mean, we're getting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I mean, you're getting your fix. So definitely, you know, gets my my tail wagging if I was a dog for sure. But anyways, we get Happy Talk with Madcap Moss, who is the new Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Champion for the 2022 WrestleMania 38, however you want to look at it. Madcap Moss, he got it done this year. But Corbin brags about his WrestleMania accomplishments. He kind of, you know, rubbing it in about how he's won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal before in his career. And he also retired Kurt Angle. But this takes a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a dark twist. And if you're a Drew McIntyre fan like I am, for God's sakes, Drew McIntyre is the open of this podcast, you know, with the intro. Drew McIntyre is the only wrestler that I know of that has literally said the name of every host here on this show, you know. So, I mean, definitely he's got a little bit of an army behind him with the WWE podcast. Gotcha. So Baron Corbin or Happy Corbin, whatever, taking this shot, you know, this joke, if, you know, with air quotes, whatever you want to look at it, him saying, what does Drew McIntyre's sword and his mom have in common? And he has a little bit of a pause and he says, Drew McIntyre lost them both. Now, if you're familiar with this, Drew McIntyre obviously lost his mother to cancer and he named that sword after her. That's why he calls it Angela. And it's basically just been a part of his character. Like, if you look up here on my shelf back there, I have a Drew McIntyre figure where he's holding his sword. So it's basically, it's a part of his thing. It's part of his shtick. It's what he does. And for Corbin to take it to that level the night before WrestleMania, and I know, obviously, he got the okay from Drew McIntyre to say it, but it's just like to say it on national television. That's one of the things, like, you're basically saying, like, I'm totally cool with pissing off some people to the extent where they never cheer for me. Because some people take that stuff very serious, and even though it is storyline and all that stuff, if you say that type of stuff, you're going to, you know, ruffle some feathers.
Oh, yeah.
I remember whenever Drew McIntyre, obviously, whenever the shoe was on the other foot, whenever Roman Reigns had, you know, just beaten cancer for the second time, whenever he was back in WWE and he had a program going with Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre said, "You may have beaten leukemia, but you'll never beat me."
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of one of the things, like, you know, whenever they flirt with those lines, you know, of like reality and like things that you shouldn't really joke about or shouldn't really poke fun at.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same, like, it's got to be done right, but man, it could be, you know, a beautiful part of professional wrestling. That might just be, you know, the dark twisted side of me that I'm, you know, a fan of that type of stuff. But I mean, that's kind of how it goes off the air. Drew McIntyre comes out pissed off after obviously hearing that. Madcap Moss tries to stop him from coming. He basically just swats him out of the way like a fly, gets in the ring, destroys the table, stabs the ring with his sword while the fire comes out. And, you know, the show goes off the air. We eventually immediately go to the Peacock app. And that's when the Hall of Fame ceremony is starting to go on, you know, the signers and all that stuff. But, I mean, what'd you think about this last segment? Drew McIntyre crashing the celebration for Madcap winning the Andre the Giant. And then basically Corbin just, you know, being an a-hole.
Well, let me tell you, Corbin is definitely pushing buttons. You know, that's, you know, like you were saying, any type of mom joke, especially for me, you know, like I've gotten into it with the guys at work or one guy in particular, I guess you could say. But I mean, you know, that's one thing that's kind of like do not cross. Right? Yeah. That one of those lines. So I kind of feel that. I mean, especially like, for Drew, you know, him losing his mother and stuff like that. That's definitely like border, you know, overline, I guess you could say. So, I mean, Yeah, he got what's coming to him, I guess you could say.
Yeah, number one, Drew McIntyre will do anything to make people more interested. And I am. Yeah. I'm more interested now in seeing this than I was yesterday. And the fact that I'm going to be there, my arm hairs are kind of starting to stick up. But, and number two, I was actually watching The Waterboy the other day, and he's somebody that, I mean, I dare you to say something about The Waterboy's mom. That's all I'm going to say. But anyways, we can go ahead and get into our predictions for the WrestleMania 38 card. I'm looking forward to it. And you got them pulled up, right? Night by night. So I guess we'll go ahead and do it chronological order. Let's start with the Saturday card.
Okay, so basically what I'm seeing, I don't know if it's going to be in like chronological order and stuff like that. But what I'm seeing here is what we got is the SmackDown Women's Championship, Ronda versus Charlotte.
I mean, see, here's the thing. I don't necessarily know, but I would be. I mean, you don't want to open WrestleMania with a snooze fest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, they have enough matches on the card where I wouldn't be surprised if this match did open it. Like, if you don't, I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to think about it. If you don't close WrestleMania, you damn near want to open it. Like, I mean, that's kind of one of the things. Like, you don't want to just be buried, kind of, you know, there in the middle of the card. You know, you kind of want to. You know, if you're not being in the main event, why not open it? Why not be the first match whenever people are the most invested? They've been waiting a whole year for WrestleMania action. They're as excited as they're going to be. They're as energetic and as awake as they're going to be throughout the entire night. So I wouldn't mind if this match was first. But as far as predictions go, Ronda Rousey all day. It's already been reported that Charlotte Flair is going to take some time off after this. Or I guess after this program, because I do believe she's already kind of been booked for WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But, I mean, rumors are, you know, whatever. Just that, the rumors. So, who knows what's going to happen. But I just feel like, I mean, Ronda Rousey won the Royal Rumble pretty easily. And Charlotte's looked like she's, you know, gotten the upper hand through this entire feud. I've said it. It's kind of the textbook rule here. The person who gets the upper hand typically does not win the program at the very end. That's the whole point of the story. You want to see somebody, you know, overcome that type of stuff, constant failure, constant, you know, getting close, but not quite pushing it over. And Ronda Rousey lost her last WrestleMania match to Becky Lynch. Charlotte Flair was involved, but she wants to get a win here, and I think she is going to do just that. So I'll be on record saying Ronda Rousey will be the new SmackDown Women's Champ.
Okay. I mean, definitely not mad at that, especially given, like, the little backstory you had gave me and stuff. So, I mean, you kind of switched me over a little bit, but I'm still going to stick with Charlotte. I mean, like I said, never go for Ronda. So,
stay true to your game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I'm going to just go with Charlotte on this one.
All right, what's the next match?
All right, so next is just going to follow up. We got the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch.
I'll let you go first.
Well, on this one, I've freaking mad at myself because I haven't been paying attention to Raw that much. So this one I'm kind of behind on. But
we have a contract here on the show. Only one of us can watch Raw at a time.
But I mean, Becky Lynch, man, I'm behind her. I mean, I did see like her hair get cut and everything like that, like the pictures that popped up on internet and everything.
I love a hair versus hair match. I know it wasn't a hair versus hair match, but just seeing it reminds you, like, there's been some hair versus hair moments at WrestleMania. I love that stuff.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, dude, I mean, how can you not get behind Becky? I mean, she's a badass, you know. She does her thing. And, I mean, Bianca, I mean, I guess you could say they're back to this, like, SummerSlam feud, you know, popping back up and stuff. So, I mean, it kind of gives back that little feel for what was happening at the time. So, I mean, here we are, all for it. But Becky, who is I'm going to run with?
I mean, think about it, dude. I mean, number one, this is a WrestleMania matchup right here. The star power, you got the up-and-comer, you got the person who's on top of their game. I mean, I can kind of think back looking at it like 2012, LeBron James versus Kevin Durant in the finals. That's kind of what it is. Somebody who's, you know, right there on top, and the up-and-comer who, you know, hey, she's going to be a problem in years to come.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Bianca Belair, without a doubt. But that's why we're going to be on different sides again. I'm picking Bianca Belair, but only because, date it back, just rewind a little bit here to our podcast that we had with Kanye Twitty, and I said that this is part of a grand scheme. This is part of a big plan that I think for Bianca Belair, where I think that, I mean, last year, keep in mind, who'd she beat at WrestleMania? Sasha Banks. This year, she's going one-on-one with Becky Lynch. I think she's going to beat her. I think she's going to take the championship from her. We'll see what happens, you know, between now and next year. But I've already said it. I think she is going to be all four horsewomen of NXT or whatever, you know, of the women's revolution. Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, Bayley, and four consecutive WrestleManias.
Okay.
And this is two of four right here. So it's a big picture type of plan. Mm-hmm. Not really just looking at it like, oh, I think that Bianca Belair is in the perfect position right now to be the Raw Women's Champion, or like it's just set up perfectly for her to win this match. I'm looking at it from the standpoint like, I'm looking at it from the big picture. There's a bigger plan here. And I just think Bianca, I mean, she's on point. Like Bianca is someone who I think is... it's time. I mean, we'll see what happens. She did cut Becky's hair. So, I mean, and all the baby faces can't win. You know, I mean, right. Not everybody can, you know, take the championship from their opponent. So we'll see. But I am, I'm going to go on record by picking Bianca Belair as well.
Okay. I mean, definitely I'm not mad at that. I mean, like you said, she's up and coming. She's, you know, EST, you know, she puts that exclamation mark, you know, quotations in that for sure. Oh, yeah. So, I'm with that, but like Becky on my side. But yeah, we'll jump to the next one. I mean, I guess they're trying to get the women's out the way, it looks like. So it's going to be the Fatal 4-Way. They got Sasha Banks and Naomi versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Natalya and Shayna Baszler versus Carmella and Queen Zelina.
I'm going Sasha and Naomi. I just think they're the best team out of them. I mean, they elevate each other. They've been in a group before, BAD, Beautiful and Dangerous, whenever it was them two and Tamina about 4 years ago. I think it was something like that. But okay. These two women are just, I feel like they could elevate the championships better than any of those other groups. And if, say, Shayna and Natalya, because they don't really, I mean, number one, you don't want to see Shayna Baszler on a tag team. But if she is the, you know, the Queen of Spades with the Queen of Hearts, that has a little bit of a catch to it. You know, I can jump onto that, especially if they can, I mean, Natalya being like a submission specialist, a veteran here in the game, Shayna Baszler being an absolute badass. Why isn't this team more of a threat? Hopefully we can see that going forward. Naomi and Sasha Banks get the win. They stay on SmackDown. And we have, well, I mean, they're going to go back and forth. We know that. Oh, but we could have an immediate feud with Natalya and Shayna Baszler. So that's a little bit of a, you know, forward thinking, a little bit of planning ahead. But just to answer your question, Sasha and Naomi are going to win the belts.
Okay. I mean, I'd say I agree with that, you know, just on paper. You know, you can't say that these two aren't the best, you know, out of the four or three other groups, I guess you could say. But, I mean, if I wanted to go for, like, the long shot, like Dark Horse, man, I'd really want to see Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan win out of this, you know. I know Liv kind of seems like she's kind of, like, not with the, like, scheme that Rhea has. I mean, just because she's more of, like, the dark, yeah. You know. But, I mean, she's trying, I guess you could say, you know. You could definitely tell that they have, like, some good energy whenever they're coming out on stage and stuff like that. So, that's who I'd want to see win out of this one.
I have this match as a potential very, I guess, dark horse to blow the doors off. It's not going to be match of the night. I mean, you have Edge and AJ Styles going at it later on. I mean, you have so many other good matches who are, you know, going to burn the house down. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins and his opponent, likely going to be somebody who is no slouch by any means. But anyways, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and move on to the next one.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's seemed like it's rolling pretty good because we're going to follow that one up with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. So we got Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs versus the Usos.
I mean, I've said it. I have had a hunch. I've had a feeling that they're going to drop their belts. And it is tough. It's tough to officially say that because, I mean, they're at a crossroads right now with this whole Bloodline storyline. You have a chance to maybe make Roman Reigns stand out even more. What I mean by that is right now they're looking like their group's unstoppable. They have the tag team championships. They have the head belt, you know, the universal champion, likely going to be a unified champion, whatever. We'll see what happens. But basically they have the top dog in the company. So it's good to have some credible goons with them who happen to have the tag team champions or championships. So are you going to set Roman Reigns up to basically be alone as far as like, dang, you guys lost yours, but I'm still building my streak. You know, that makes me even more like credible as the fact that like, damn, like these guys even lost their belts and Roman Reigns is still going. Or are you going to continue this, you know, group dominance? Are you going to continue to have them hold the championships and make the whole group be unstoppable? Because the Usos, I would believe it. I mean, as long as they're doing what they're doing, they have the chemistry that they have, I feel like they're going to be one of the teams that you can always just assume makes sense in the tag team picture or tag team championship picture. And they do, like, they feel right having those belts. I don't know what it is, like, the feeling that I have that they're going to drop them. WWE sometimes does things that, you know, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But, man, I just don't know what it is, dude. Rick Boogs is on fire, and he is, I mean, something about him I feel like is going to be what gets it done. And I am going to do it. Shinsuke Nakamura, Rick Boogs will win the championships.
Okay. I mean, definitely not mad at that. You know, just given the fact, you know, that's a strong team right there. And then yeah. Rick Boogs, man, I would hate to be matched up with him just because, like, the way he'd be, like, bench pressing, oh my you know.
Gosh, yeah. You'll see him put his hands in places.
I was about to say, yeah, it seems a little bit uncomfortable in a way, you know. So I'm kind of like, okay, I mean, do your thing, you know, maybe punt me a couple times. But, gosh, dang, when you're going, like, 7 to, like, 10 times, like, holding my woohoo.
Yeah.
Bro, that's kind of, you know. But, I mean, other than that, man, I want to see the Usos, you know, hold everything. So, I mean, I'm going to go with them. Like I said, I think it's just like a hand-in-hand type deal. Whenever, like, I feel like it's going to be like one of those moments, like, we know no whenever. I mean, I know you got your hunches and stuff like that, but.
Oh, yeah. I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I mean, you're more seasoned than me, so, I mean, you can kind of pick up on, like, the clues, the little.
My record, though, with predicting, like, with predicting things, especially. On the my early run here on the show,
yeah.
Let's just say I stopped recapping my results for a little while.
I mean, let's give some credit to creative then, because yeah. I mean
they're swerving me.
Yeah, they're doing what they gotta do. So I mean,
but then again, I mean, I did throw my guts up before the show, so I am a little you know spacey right now,
a little loopy.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, comes down to it, man. I still want to see the Usos hold.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next match.
Okay. Well, for that, it kind of ends all the championship matches, and it goes into something that's just straight interesting, you know, KO show, Stone Cold. I mean, you can't tell me that's not just going to freaking blow up in the middle of the night, you know. I mean, I kind of wish it would have. I mean, then again, it's not, like I said, looking at this list, it's not, like, how the match is supposed to be set. So, I mean, I could be off. But, yeah, I mean, this is just going to be a pop from the get. And I don't know what's to come from it. I mean, I'm hoping, you know, Kevin Owens does get KO'd, you know, in a way. But the Stone Cold Steve Austin coming, that's just the... I can't even say anything about it.
I'm right there with you, honestly. I just, I'm speechless. I've never seen Stone Cold Steve Austin in person. Literally never have. I've been to a lot. Been to over 36 live events, like you can see on the WWPodcast.com website. Just a little bit of a plug there. But, yeah, I've been to a lot. Never seen Stone Cold Steve Austin. So the fact that I might actually get a chance to see him in a damn match, I know it's very unlikely. I'm not even going to try to get my hopes up. Who knows? But I do feel like this is it. You know, this is... If it's not now, it's never. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's going to try it now. It could be the last one. He might not even do a full match. It could just be a little bit of a brawl. And if it is just a little bit of a brawl, then I think that we might need to, you know, it's not like we, you know, had high hopes of Stone Cold ever returning to the ring, but officially put those to bed. But, I mean, if Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's going to get the upper hand, whether it's in a match, brawl, talk show, whatever, dance recital, Stone Cold Steve Austin, beer chugging contest, doesn't matter. I feel like Stone Cold Steve Austin is definitely going to get the upper hand here, obviously. And it's crazy that I'm even saying this. Like, the fact that I'm actually breaking down a Stone Cold Steve Austin, like me saying, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to get the upper hand here is crazy in of itself. Like, the fact that we're talking about him on this show, like, not in a, in a nostalgia episode, not in a retro throwback. Like, we're talking about something that's going to be happening literally less than 24 hours from right now and today when you're listening to this podcast. So, I mean, shout out to you for, you know, hopefully listening to the show before the pay-per-view. But either way, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin all day.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that's definitely going to be something I look out for. But we'll follow that up. We got the Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul.
See, it's tough because, you know, they want to give the Mysterios their, you know, their WrestleMania moment. But is there them having a match like itself a WrestleMania moment? Kind of. You could consider that. I got to tag with my son at WrestleMania. And I don't know what their plans are with Logan Paul. But, I mean, something tells me that The Miz and Logan Paul are going to win this match. So I'm picking them.
I'm on the other hand here, man. I'm not too much for The Miz, and definitely Logan Paul, man. He doesn't seem, like, too familiar with what's going on. You know, like, Raw, he took the little, I don't even know what to call it, like, little kick to the legs and stuff. Yeah, and he didn't really take that, like that bump to, like, get set up for the 619 too good. So, I mean, it's kind of like watching, like, a real amateur in the ring, you know, so... Something I'm not too high on, so I'm going to go with Rey and Dominic on this one.
Yeah, and, like, as crazy as it is to say, like, and as unpolished as Logan Paul is in the ring, he still looks more like a wrestler than Dominic does. And that's thing that gets me, dude. Dominic is just, like, it's to the point now to where I'm like, yeah, dude, I give it to you. Like, I was talking to you about it, the storyline with Eddie Guerrero back in the day when he was a real little kid. Like, he's been around the block. You know, he's been around for a while in the wrestling industry. A lot of people have. That doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, a future world champion and all that stuff. So I just feel like I don't really know what it is. I mean, I am not a Dominic fan. I'll just go ahead and say that. But, yeah, I definitely think Logan Paul and The Miz are going to win this. Not a Logan Miz or Logan Paul or Miz fan by any means. You know, they can both piss off, in my opinion. But, I mean, I do feel like they're going to win this match. So.
Okay, we're starting off with a couple of hits and misses here. So, I mean, that's good, you know. But we'll follow up with this next one. We got Seth Rollins and the mystery opponent. Any ideas?
Well, I mean, it's hard to pick a winner when you literally don't know who it is. But I think it's going to be Cody. It's going to be Cody Rhodes. And it'd be weird to make him lose, you know, coming back like that. Seth Rollins losing a match like that, I don't feel like it would hurt him by any means. He did have a pretty good WrestleMania record for a while there. I think it might have, you know, taken a little bit of a hit, you know, losing to Kevin Owens and all that stuff. But I do think that that Seth Rollins is likely going to lose this match, though, just with whoever they're bringing back. It's likely going to be, you know, to put that person over.
Gotcha. See, on this one, I'm kind of just like someone in the stands for this one. I can't really, like you say, can't really put too much on it. And I can't really, like, I mean, of course, you know, Cody Rhodes, he got signed and everything like that. So, I mean, that's definitely where, like, all hands are, like, pointing for right now, you know. So, I mean, I guess we can go right there, you know, just on the idea of it. But for me, I'd want to see Seth Rollins win, you know, just because he's been going down the wrong path, you know. He was definitely, like, at that high point for a good second, you know, dealing with, like, the Roman Reigns, you know, and then all the title contentions and stuff. But, even with him and Kevin Owens, man, I would have rather saw them in that that triple threat rather than Street Profits.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it kind of just took a twist. But, yeah, I mean... For this match, I would want to see Seth Rollins win this one. But, yeah, we'll jump into that next one. We got the Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin.
Drew all day. He's going to kick out of the End of Days. He'll be the first person to kick out of it. He's going to beat Happy Corbin, and we might get a gimmick change from Happy Corbin because he hasn't lost yet in this gimmick. And I think his luck will officially run out here at WrestleMania with Drew McIntyre.
Okay, I mean, I'm going to go with that one, too. Drew McIntyre, just on this episode, dude, he freaking came out in that muscle shirt looking all jacked and stuff like that. I mean, you can't put nothing past this guy, you know? I mean, yeah, you can always lose, but in this situation, no, I don't think he's losing. And then, like you were saying, I think it's going to kind of put, like, a twist on Corbin and Madcap in a way, you know, kind of start something fresh right there. So that's something I'm kind of looking forward to, just given the fact that – they've been kind of butting heads on jokes and stuff. So, yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up for us. Mike had to tag out for a sec. So, definitely hope he gets better so he can enjoy WrestleMania. You know, it's kind of sucking that it's coming down to this, but we'll jump into this Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Man, this one I'm going to go with Kofi, you know, and Xavier Woods. Hopefully they can kind of bounce back, bring back that New Day vibe. And, you know, Big E, he's still out, you know, so definitely big shout outs to him. But the Sheamus and Ridge, you know, I mean, they're good and everything, but I kind of just feel as if, you know, Ridge, he has some more practice to do, you know, get a little bit more familiar with ring stuff. I mean, just because, like, the way his performance has been recently, you know, definitely putting, like, injuries on people and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, not too high on them. So, yeah, we'll definitely go with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods winning that one. And then that's going to go ahead and take us into the Sunday night. So, I mean, it's definitely going to start off pretty good. What I'm seeing here is that it's going to start off with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And, of course, we all know where I stand on this. Roman Reigns, I mean, he definitely has to back himself up. I mean, because all this running and stuff that he's been doing, I have been for it. So, yeah, I mean, whenever the Sunday night comes, I mean, this is definitely going to pop. So, Sunday night, beginning of the show, this is something that I'm going to be looking forward to. And, yeah, definitely want to see Roman Reigns keep holding that title. Definitely see how this goes with, like, the unification and stuff. But, I mean, coming to an end, I guess you could say, I wouldn't mind, like, the story is still to carry on in just a little form, you know, not too long, not way down the road and stuff like that, but just a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to this, Roman Reigns is going to hold that title. And what I'm seeing here, the next one, we're going to jump into the Anything Goes match between Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn. And like I said before, I mean, plenty of times, this is interesting, you know. I mean, it's made its way to social media. It keeps us involved and stuff. And like I said, not too much higher on Sami Zayn. I mean, but he of course, this is what he does. This is his profession, you know. Of course, Johnny Knoxville, he's going to come take a beating. So definitely kind of interested in what's going on or going to happen in all this. But in the long run, I am going to choose Johnny Knoxville to take this win. I mean, I know it's going to put a little damper on Sammy, but I don't know. Johnny, he definitely has to pull this one out just to put Sammy in his place, I guess you could say. But yeah, we'll jump into the next one. We got a triple threat match for the Raw Tag Team Championships. You know, RK-Bro versus Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. And this one, I mean, you can't go wrong with RK-Bro, you know. I mean, that's definitely a good tag team right there. Street Profits, I don't know, man. Like I said earlier, I kind of felt as if Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens should have been in this position right here just because I felt like the crowd were just like a little bit more behind them and everything rather than Street Profits just getting thrown in there. I know they had to win and stuff like that for their opportunity, but it kind of felt like it was just kind of like a scoot on the door, you know, like kind of gave it to them and stuff like that. What didn't come like hard, you know, they just got a good little breeze through it. But yeah, I definitely would want to see RK-Bro, you know, hold on to this and keep going from there. So, yeah, that's another one from me. And it does end right there with the championships, you know. So that's a good way to start the match, I guess. So, or I wouldn't say championships because they throw the Johnny Knoxville, but you know, the two championships are knocked out already. And what I'm seeing next is the AJ Styles versus Edge. And this one right here, man, I can't really say too much on it. I mean, of course, I know Edge as far as I can remember, I guess you could say. You know, so AJ Styles, he's kind of like the newer one to me. I mean, he's definitely good. I mean, definitely see what he brings to the table whenever he was, like, tagged with Omos and everything. And then kind of like when he was splitting. So
definitely like interested to see like the this bulldog AJ Styles that Edge is trying to provoke out of him and stuff. So yeah, this is gonna kind of be interesting, and I'm ready to see this one. But in the long run, I am gonna choose Edge, you know, just to finish this out, you know, just because I don't know, man. I can't go against them. I mean, this is somebody that I've known, a very familiar face. So yeah, definitely want to see Edge pull this one off. But yeah, and then the next one I'm seeing, Bobby Lashley versus Omos. And this one was kind of a, I don't know, kind of like a, like, here you go, you know. Like, Omos was over here trying to find a, or somebody to match with, and then Bobby Lashley kind of just comes out on Raw. But, I mean, I'm for it, you know. Bobby Lashley, he's very good. Omos, he's kind of just like one of those big guys that are, big for nothing, I guess you could say. I mean, I haven't really seen too much from him. A lot of people might disagree with me, but just from what I've seen, he's just like a, he's just like a big guy that just stands there, doesn't really have too much. I mean, maybe that big choke slam or something like that, but I can't really see like too much going for him. So yeah, definitely see Bobby Lashley winning this one, and that's who I'm gonna roll with. And then the last night, or the last match of the night, is gonna be Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. And this can't be any better. I mean, I don't think there's going to be, I mean, of course, there could be a lot more options that can end this night. But then again, like, this is something that, like, a lot of people are interested in, too. I mean, definitely me for sure. So I am going to say, or roll with Pat McAfee on this one. I hope he does pull it out and put a good beating on Austin Theory, just because dude deserves it. I mean, there's so many things that you can do before, you know, you get your butt beat. So, I mean, this one right here, that, like I said, Pat McAfee all the way. And, yeah, that's just what I'm going to roll with. But other than that, I mean, I'm ready. I mean, tomorrow's going to be exciting night. Like I said, I hope Mike gets the feeling better, because what I'm seeing right now, man, he's kind of going through it. So if everybody gives him a little shout out and stuff like that, hopefully, like I said, hopefully he gets feeling better so he can enjoy the weekend. And, you know, this is something that you don't want to miss. WrestleMania's coming, you know. I mean, there's no way that you could, one day away and then this kind of stuff pops up. But, I mean, here we are, and trying to push him through and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's good that he kind of took a break, you know, go get some fluids down and stuff. But other than that, I mean, we're here. I mean, we've made it. And I want to appreciate everybody for listening and everything. You know, follow us, Twitter, you know, like Mike was saying earlier at the beginning of the show, Michael Five Ritter on Twitter. And then mine as well, big underscore speaker, you know, BIGG underscore speaker. Follow me. And yeah, let's connect a little bit. Let's see like some opinions and stuff before like WrestleMania happens, kind of just see where everybody's sitting and everything. But yeah, I do want to give a shout out to all the listeners, you know. And like I was saying earlier on the SmackDown tier for the Patreon, you know, everybody just, I wouldn't say you have to, but I mean, it gives you the benefits of like what's going on. Like Matt, he's I'm noticing he's starting to put out some videos, and I'm pretty sure everybody would be interested in seeing like what he got going for everybody. Because I know he kind of puts in a lot of time. And, I mean, he says it all the time. So, I mean, definitely want to give a shout-out to him for what he got going. And, you know, allowing everybody to do this, you know. Because this is good. You know, I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. And I do appreciate everybody that's, you know, allowed me to kind of step my foot in this, I guess you could say. But, yeah, definitely want to give a shout-out to all the Patreons. And if you're not a member and if you're kind of over the ads and everything like that, you know, check out Patreon, you know. WWE Podcast, we're on there, you know.
Like John was saying, subscribe on Patreon if you haven't already. Do all that good stuff. Sorry I had to tap out there in that episode. I wasn't able to finish. I barely have a window right now where I'm feeling good, where I can kind of, you know, get the episode finished and all that good stuff. But, yeah, shout-out to John for finishing strong there like a champ. I'm hoping that I don't freaking have, like, food poisoning or something like that. I don't know what the hell's going on, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to go to sleep and, you know, see if maybe I can sleep it off. But stay tuned. If you've listened this far in the episode, then you are, you know, at least I guess, gifted with this real-time little update here. So I guess you'll get to, you'll be privileged to this whole little storyline going on, and I'll be sure to keep you guys updated. But hey, we appreciate all the feedback on Twitter. If you're getting at us like that, we appreciate it. You know, people reaching out saying that they've listened to the show, all that good stuff. Definitely keep it coming. Keep listening to the show if you haven't already. Leave a good 5-star rating. We definitely appreciate it, but walk passionately in the direction of your dreams. Enjoy WrestleMania, guys. The best weekend in the entire year. So definitely soak it up. But yeah, have a damn good weekend, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.